So, just getting started off here on the top of the hour, what did everybody do for Thanksgiving? Because we didn't have a broadcast last week because we had, we had Thanksgiving. So, what did everybody do? David, what did you do?
I had some libations and hand sandwiches for friends for our Friendsgiving in Seattle. So we were adulting real well.
That's awesome.
Sounds like a blast.
Paris, what about you?
I flew to my home state and I did some skiing.
Awesome. Yeah. So I had no plans for Thanksgiving. And I was actually, my plan actually was I was going to literally come here and just chill on campus.
Because
I thought I was going to get like homework done, you know, projects and things like that. And then I actually found out as I was working in campus ministry and Dr. Joanna Royce Davis came by, our vice president for student life. And she said, well, if you don't have any plans tomorrow, there's room at President Christ's house, and he always has, he always has students over who are unable to go home for Thanksgiving. So he said, we can put you on the list. And I was like, well, I don't know, and then she was like, well, I'll contact his assistant. I was like, okay, that's fine. So I got an email like an hour later, like, you're put on the list to go. And if you need to get,
then you had to.
And then if you need to get picked up, the vans are going to leave at this time. And I was like, I will drive myself. But I actually had a good time. I got to see more of the Gagne house than I have ever seen before. Mm-hmm. And so that's always nice. And the other thing about that is that the inside of that house, I mean, I've gotten to see the outside before. But the inside of that house is...
So many books.
There's a lot of books in that house. And I got there before the other students got there. And as I was talking with President Christ, he mentioned that he was a cartophile. And I was like, what's that? And he said, oh, I'm a collector of maps. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And we started talking about the different maps that he had on the walls there in the front room. And there was a map of the Virgin Islands, of course, you know, where he grew up.
On a sailboat. I'm very jealous.
And then he had some interesting map projections of Tacoma and the Puget Sound, and they were different, like they were illustrated like where like original buildings were and stuff. So it was really cool. And I get pointed out like the original like churches that were in Tacoma and other like gathering places, public schools and things that were around. So that was really cool.
He seems to know a lot about like the first churches in different areas. He was, he gave a speech to one of my classes once. And when he was explaining the story of his life and his very interesting, childhood growing up on a sailboat, he also was explaining like the first churches of different islands. And I just thought that was so neat.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Nice.
And then of course we had dinner, which, you know, Patty Christ, amazing. I just have to say, not only is she a lady baller and, you know, and she's like, you know, an efficiency expert for Ford, but she is amazing in the kitchen.
She can do it all. She can kick butt in the business world as well as be an awesome homemaker, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah, I think homemaker is beneath her at this point. I would say home builder, because the turkey was great, all the fixins were great, and we had pie, and we were all told that we had to have pie because there was so much pie. And there's never too much pie, then a couple of the students and I, we decided, well, let's go for a walk around the pond so we can like work off the turkey and everything else. We'll come back in and have some pie.
I've seen the size of that pond. I don't know if it's big
walk.
that walk wasn't long enough to work off anything, but it was so cold outside. We're like, okay.
Oh yeah. Well, okay. Get your blood pumping.
There you go. The shivering will be your workout.
Yeah. And most of the pond was frozen over.
Did you try to step on it?
Yes, we did.
Did
anyone fall in?
Yeah. No, nobody fell in. But, what happened was the ice started cracking a little bit into very large pieces of ice.
So you were going to be a polar bear and just float away.
No, this is what we did. All of us did this. We reached down and we picked up the big, large pieces of ice. Some of them were like 12 or 14 inches long, I would guess.
Oh my gosh.
And they were huge pieces. And then we just picked them up And then we reared back and just threw them across the pond, and they shattered on the frozen ice, and they made this like,
let it go.
Let it go.
I'm sure the crisis really appreciated you doing that to their pond.
I mean, it's gonna refreeze and melt and refreeze again anyway. So
are there any fish in it?
No, I think
that was a little cold.
As long as we're not,
I think it's just a decorative pond.
Perfect. No, actually, no. It's actually fed. It's actually fed from the stream from Spanaway Creek that flows through the property. So Spanaway Creek actually originates at Mount Rainier and flows all the way down through that property and eventually merges with Clover Creek and empties out by Chambers Bay.
So it's you know this how? Pond.
I know this because President Christ informed all of us.
Oh,
yes, we were like looking at everything.
I was like, that's a very random trivia that just happened to come in handy right
but,
there.
Yeah, but no, it actually is that pond is actually 10 feet deep on the...
That's not too bad.
It's 10 feet deep on that side.
But you can drown in 2 inches of water, so just...
Well, it's 10 feet deep on the fountain side, but on the other side, it's more shallow.
Got it.
So, but yeah, that's, I mean, it was fun to go out there and do that and break ice on the on the pond. And there were no fish, but we saw ducks off in the distance.
Aww.
And then when we started getting closer to them, they like quacked and ran away. So,
as then, ducks often do.
Yeah. But it was fun. And you know, I do want to say I did tweet Patty, you know, at her Twitter, at Patty L. Christ. And I said, thank you for opening up your home and welcoming in students. And it was...
How many students were there?
There was like, must have been at least 10 or 11 students, okay. Maybe 12. I'm not
That's
sure.
That's a good number. It's a little more personal, but then at the same time, you don't have to worry about it.
Being... And President Christ sat at one table with one set of students, and Mrs. Christ sat at the other table where I sat at. So that was pretty cool. And Angie Hambrick was there too. And we all love Angie. I took a Thanksgiving selfie with Angie. So that was fine. That was fun.
Nothing
okay.
like the turkey selfie.
Well, speaking of Thanksgiving, I mean, we had some other Thanksgiving events going on around campus, and David's got a story on that.
Oh, yes. So 2 weeks ago on the 18th of November, PLU members and local community members participated in a food drive here at PLU. And so the donors received a handmade bowl, which they then received soup in from the event. The event was called Empty Bowls. And they also participated in a raffling prize event at the Empty Bowl. And raffle tickets were selling at $10. And so all the proceeds went towards providing food for other local food banks, as well as Trinity Lutheran Church here.
Well, and I heard that PLU art students actually were the ones to donate all of those bowls. So I heard that all of their work was being transferred from Ingram over to the event, which mm-hmm. I thought was super nice. And
yeah, and they made, I think, like 60 more bowls than they did last year because the event gained in popularity.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of reminds me of how PLU really likes to involve their students in the community. And I know that Winterfest is coming up in a couple weeks, and that's an athlete-led thing where our sports department... I guess our athletics department, sports department sounds weird, but the athletics department is going to be putting on an event in which families can come in and they can drop their kids off with PLU students and they can hang out for a few hours while the parents go and shop, quote unquote, for presents for their kids that are all donated by the community. So they can get all these free Christmas presents and they can leave their kids with the students here for a little while and then everyone goes home happy.
Yeah, it was a really good event, and it was just in time, too, to provide, like, families nearby who didn't have access to food for Thanksgiving coming up.
Definitely. Yeah, that's always... I mean, it's such a big day, and then, of course, you see all the politicians like to go and help out on Thanksgiving, but they need help every day.
Yep.
Cool. Well, I'm glad that, you know, that our campus and members of our campus community are able to give back. And, of course, Trinity Lutheran Church, which is on the campus of PLU, been a part of that tradition of giving and helping out those in our community as well. And it's a great thing that we can come together at these times, such as Thanksgiving, and be able to help each other out, you know, help our community and help families as well out who need just a little help around these times of year. So
definitely.
That's awesome. So thank you, Paris, and thank you, David. We're going to take a break here real quick. And after the break, we're going to be talking about... we're talking about nursing students. Yes, that's what we're talking about. We're going to talk about nursing students and what they did as far as helping out with Thanksgiving. And we're also going to be talking about standing in solidarity with Mizzou. But first, we're going to listen to a song by Taylor Swift. I think you all know this one. This is Wildest Dreams. You're listening to the Masked Radio Hour here on Laser. Welcome back to the Mass Radio Hour here on Laser, Loot Air Student Radio. We're going to go ahead and bring on a special guest here tonight. David, you've got a story about standing in solidarity with Mizzou. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yes. So on November 20th, students on campus rallied in an effort to show support and solidarity with the students and the community at Mizzou. And so here we have Theo Hoffening to speak with us about the whole event because he was a participant in the stand-in with the students for solidarity. Hello, Theo.
Hi. Thanks thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for being here. So what inspired you to personally participate in the stand-in?
Well, for me, I was actually a part of kind of the group that decided to make it happen. We're all just like kicking it outside of the D Center, and it was probably a group of like five or six of us of kids who just like normally hang out there, and we had heard about UPS. Mm-hmm. The same day had done a really massive and super successful walkout of classes. They had like over 500 people attend. They stood on the steps of like their administration building and said, "Hey, this, as students of color, as marginalized students, this is what we want." And so for me, that was like, okay, like it's here, and these things are really relevant, and we should be doing something as well. Obviously, lots of stuff has been happening at Mizzou and other colleges around the nation, Ithaca, Yale, Oxy. You know, a lot of colleges have been working on these issues. So for me personally, it comes out of, solidarity and working, with this national issue and working on something that's super relevant here at PLU as well.
So Puget Sound, UPS had a walkout in the same day that you had to stand in solidarity, or?
Mm-mm, they had it on Thursday, and we had planned this, the stand in solidarity for Friday.
Oh, okay.
So it was around lunchtime or something when we started like putting this together. We said, all right, you email these people, you create a Facebook event, somebody put together posters. And so it just ended up being a really cool collective effort on behalf of some students to mm-hmm. make this happen. And we were we were incredibly proud and happy with the turnout. So
yeah, so I remember walking by Red Square, I saw you all standing in a line, and I saw the signs, and I wanted to stand just to show support too. And but unfortunately, class was beckoning, and I was like, whoa. Ooh.
Well, that's one thing. I mean, yeah, we stood out there, and I think that activism and ways people engage in activism, it differs for every single person, and so, and we also aren't advocating that people, leave class or miss class. You pay for that. And I'm not trying to tell you to skip the things you pay for, for me, the way I do activism and the way that manifests itself for me is through standing in solidarity, and so I think that,
Yeah,
good.
That's very nice. So how do you think the stand in solidarity impacted the campus, if any way at all?
It was really interesting to see people walking past, because I think one thing that protests do, and something that like direct actions like that, one thing that they do and the impact they have is that we took up space. Mm-hmm. And we took space, and instead of this being some abstract issue, of race and racism that happens on, a campus in Missouri or happens, somewhere in California or somewhere else, we took the space to help students understand that this is also happening here at PLU, and that this is a really relevant issue for PLU, and that changes can be made here to help that. And so it was kind of making a concrete, concrete manifestation of this issue, showing people that it is real and it is here and that we can do something. But I think the impact that it had is just, to raise awareness and to show people that it is real.
Yeah, that's great. So have you noticed the weeks before, if PLU has in any way kind of like talked about the events surrounding Mizzou and have acted in any way towards raising awareness too?
There was a group meeting even before the actual event. There was a group meeting to talk about how issues of race, microaggressions, and whatnot have affected PLU students.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a really nice, really great group meeting on that. And then after the event, we also convened with faculty, staff, and students, and you know, people who were involved to kind of put together a list of demands, a list of concerns, and things that students wanted to see change.
Oh, that's great.
And what exactly, Theo? What exactly were the, if you could tell us, what was on that list of demands? Just kind of, you
can. It's actually still in the process. I mean, some of the ideas that came out were related to funding, related to, related to various. Talked about a little bit about the bias incident response team and about helping that become more of a viable program on campus.
About that program, I haven't heard anything about that program, and there's been, I know, a couple of incidents on campus where it's been, is this something we would use BERT? Or, you know, and mm-hmm. we've been told no, that's not a BERT incident. And so we're like, well, what is a BERT incident?
Well, yeah, and I think a big part of that, what we're trying to do is inform people about that, and there hasn't been enough support, there hasn't been enough acceptance by the whole of the PLU community, and so I think one of the reasons, one of the demands that we're trying to get on there is more support for programs like that, more outreach, more acceptance on behalf of the PLU community. Other things included like onboarding programs, so something in regards to the diversity, justice, and sustainability for freshmen, you know, in the same way we have sexual harassment trainings when you come in, in your initial first few days here as a freshman, you know, trying to get some kind of onboarding thing. But those are all still in the works, and a group of us is meeting with faculty and staff and trying to determine some root cause and systematic changes that we can ask for.
Well, that's definitely good to hear. Thank you, Theo, for coming on the show tonight, Theo Hoffening, and sharing your experiences as being a part of that Standing in Solidarity and what you're doing here on campus.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome. And thank you, David, for bringing us that story.
You're
so,
welcome.
Paris, I know that we were going to talk about some nurses, and then we're not talking about nurses now. That's what happens.
We're going to have to jump holidays.
Yeah. Ooh. So that's what happens when you're on live radio, is that suddenly things change. And so now we're talking about... Actually, what are we talking about, Paris?
Well, thanks again to Theo. That was an absolutely wonderful interview. We're so glad we could have you on and talk about such an important issue like that. So now we have something a little bit more lighthearted to speak of, and that would be Christmas. We were going to talk about another thing that related to Thanksgiving, but I guess since it's December 1st, now it's slightly acceptable for us to talk about the next upcoming holiday because our article...
No Christmas music, though.
No Christmas music yet. No. We'll leave that to... I don't know what radio stations there are up here, but I could tell you what it would be in my hometown that starts playing the Christmas music at midnight on Thanksgiving. Like, they're ready.
Too early.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and I feel so bad because
I love
people...
Christmas music as well.
But... See, I love Christmas everything, but there's a time and a place.
And you're Jewish.
I am. So. But I think that Christmas is the greatest holiday.
Scandalous.
Well, because like I celebrate it as like Santa and elves and... snowmen.
With
I don't
your
know
Hanukkah
like
bush
that. Exactly. Well, and I just brought my menorah back from going home for Thanksgiving, so I'm pretty excited about that.
That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, but anyways, yes. PLU Christmas things. So we actually have an advent calendar that's up on the website, so if you want to check that out, that's super fun. And December 1st, it's a fact sort of deal, so every day there is a new fact from the last 125 years of PLU. So our December 1st one, I will read it from the website, is President John F. Kennedy. On September 27th, 1963, PLU welcomed President John F. Kennedy. The president spoke at a convocation in Cheney Stadium. So we're just going to learn some new stuff about history.
You know what the significance is about that particular visit?
I wish I did.
It was a joint convocation service with the University of Puget Sound, so with UPS. And so that's what it was over at Cheney Stadium. He addressed the students from both schools. And the other thing is that that was one of his last appearances before his untimely assassination.
You should be the advent calendar. We should just set you up in the commons and then poke you every day. And then you'll tell us something new.
I support that.
And but, what else we got going on?
Yeah, other Christmas happenings. So we also have tomorrow on December 2nd at 7 p.m. in the Ness Family Chapel, the annual Norwegian Language Advent Service. So that is the other happy first of Advent. So PLU will celebrate the season with our Norwegian Language Advent Service with Pastor Art Sortland, who will be officiating in Norwegian. So everyone is welcome to the event and to have some kransakaka afterwards, which I believe would be a Scandinavian food that I have never heard of.
I haven't heard of it either.
So I apologize to anyone of Scandinavian descent for just butchering the name of that. But then continuing on, there's so much happening Christmas-related. On December 3rd at 10:30 a.m. in the Scandinavian Cultural Center will be Carols with Cassie. On December 3rd at 5 p.m., also in the Scandinavian Cultural Center, will be the annual German Language Advent Service. So you can experience...
Oh.
Yeah, you can experience the same... I don't know if it's the same service or multiple services, but you can experience it in... a variety of languages, so that's cool.
Yes.
And then the Celebration of Light, it will be on December 4th at 5:15 p.m. in Red Square.
And there are Christmas trees.
Oh, there are.
There's a few.
There are Christmas trees.
Because I heard that there was like a big scandal that...
Well, I want to clarify. I just want to clarify. You know, Pastor John Rosenberg, who's our interim campus pastor here, kind of got blamed for... there not being any Christmas trees this year. And he, as you know, a guy who's very new here, who is doing this as a favor, he's a retired pastor and he's doing this kind of as a favor to the university to be here and kind of help guide the ministry while we, you know, start the call process for the new pastor in the spring semester. And, you know, he's got basically no staff other than he's got an alumni who's working a few hours a week and he has me. Full disclosure, I work for campus ministry. So anyhow,
And shout out to him because he's been writing for the paper and he's been giving announcements and I think
and he's walking around to all the different offices.
He's really doing a wonderful job this year.
Yeah, he is. He's really talking with everybody, which is nice. But he brought in like members of RHA and ASPLU to say, hey, what are we going to do for this? And they were kind of the ones who said, well, maybe let's not have a tree this year. And then we reported that there's not going to be a tree.
And people assumed.
And then, and people assumed, oh, it was that. And so, but Pastor John said, I'm not going to die on that hill. So, we are having Christmas trees. We're having lights all over Red Square. So I hope that as many of you that can make it will be out there. And we're going to be singing some carols and enjoying the lights in Red Square, and it's going to be fun. And shameless promotion, after that at 8 p.m. I hope that as many of you can come out to the Sounds of Christmas. It's one of our Christmas concerts that's going to be happening in our soiree of Christmas concerts that we have. It is the one that there are still seats available. And of course, if you're a PLU student, you get in for free. So if you're not doing anything Friday night, you should come by Lagerquist Concert Hall at 8 p.m. and support University Men's Chorus and the University Singers as we present Sounds of Christmas.
Yeah,
festive night.
Very festive. And on that calendar, we've only made it up to December 4th. So definitely check it out because there is a lot more to come going up all the way through the end of the semester, which I believe is December 17th. But there's a lot happening. So everyone check out the website and you can look at our fun little advent calendar, which the website is actually snowing for you. So that's really pretty.
That's awesome. And I wish it would snow here.
I know. That'd be so nice. It's so cold. And then there's just rain and ice. And it's sad.
Welcome to the Pacific Northwest.
All right. Well, thank you for that story, Paris. Appreciate it. Yeah. And coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about ROTC. And we'll be talking about a recent candlelight vigil held on campus. But first, we're going to listen to some music. Here's Adele with Hello. This is the Mast Radio Hour on Laser. And welcome back to the Mass Radio Hour here on Laser, Lute Air Student Radio. That was Rudimental featuring Ed Sheeran with Lay It All On Me. And before that was our personal favorite, Adele with hello. All right. So we've had a pretty good show tonight, I think. But we're getting ready
you
to.
You can't tell the audience that.
No. Yeah, yes, I can.
We have to show, no. Don't tell. We can't tell them we're doing well. We have to just do a good job, and then they will figure it out for themselves. Our listeners are smart people, Eddie.
Yeah.
All. Yeah, 22 of them.
All 20.
Hey, it's up from 15. It's up from 15. It's up from 15.
Hello, all 22 of you. A personal hello from me.
Yes. So, you know, we've had a lot of things go on campus. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't have a show last week because we had a shortened school week because of Thanksgiving. And the week before, we had so much going on in that broadcast because we had Masked Magazine coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there were so many people here. There was like 15 people in the room, and it was fun. It was a mini party. It was a news and talk show party.
It was almost
like doing a talk show with a live studio audience.
Yeah, there was a lot of laughter happening, and we had people shifting in and out of the seats so we could all talk at a microphone, and we had our lovely interview with Sam Ellefson, since that was the week of the original, or I guess the now... What would be the premiere of late night? I can't think of that word.
So, but yeah, a lot of things have happened on campus. So we're trying to cover stuff it's not necessarily new because it's already been done, but, and people have known about it already, but we're covering it now because we want to get our chance to. So the week, you know, a couple weeks ago now, we know that some tragedy happened in Paris, Beirut, and Baghdad, and it involved some shootings. People were found dead, and that's
hostages were taken.
Mm-hmm. Hostages were taken, and it was not a fun 48 hours in those three cities at that time. And in solidarity, you know, not only did we 2 weeks ago stand in solidarity with Mizzou, but 2 weeks ago we all gathered in solidarity for our evening prayer service. We have an evening prayer service every Wednesday night on campus at 8:30 in Nest Chapel. But what we did is we dedicated that particular service as a candlelight vigil service. And evening prayer, you know, we have maybe 5 people that show up to evening prayer. But it doesn't, you know, the number doesn't matter. It's a small, intimate space that we have it at the chapel in Karen Hilly Phillips. It's a beautiful setting to have it in, and it's just a really cool thing to be a part of if you haven't done it before. But that particular night, we had like 40-something people there.
And that's almost at capacity for that space, I believe. 60?
60 is the capacity for that space.
That's not a bad turnout.
Yeah, and President Christ was there, and Patty was there, and some other staff and administrators were there as well. And we all got, we borrowed some candlelight service candles from Trinity Lutheran across the street, and we all held little candles, and we stood in solidarity and prayed for peace, and we prayed for the victims in Paris, Baghdad, Beirut, and everywhere, really, because when you stop and think about it, there is someone each day who dies for no real reason. You know, they die at the hand of violence. And, you know, if there's any challenge that I have out there is that, you know, instead of coming together at times of sadness, we should be coming together at times of goodness as well, too. We need to celebrate the good in humanity that we do have. So that way we can discourage these harmful acts that happen. And we know that people aren't perfect, but I think the more and more we can come together as humanity and find that common ground that each and all of us have, it doesn't matter, you know, what religion you are, what national origin you are, what your ethnicity is, we can all find some common ground to coexist and work together. And I think if we can do that more often and come together in times of good, the times of bad won't be so bad because we'll be able to get through them much stronger. And maybe we'll be able to make even a small change, even here in Tacoma. That's what I'm hoping for. And I think everybody who came that night, you know, that was definitely on their mind. So it was an awesome thing to be a part of.
That's an excellent point about wanting to gather when something good has happened, as opposed to only wanting to come together when there are tragedies in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks volumes just on its own.
Yeah,
definitely. So speaking of something good... I think we have something to talk about with our ROTC program, don't we, Paris?
We do. Speaking of the people who are out protecting us all over the world, we have a great ROTC program here at PLU. And they recently, on November 13th, sent a team of 10 to compete in the annual Ranger Challenge competition at Camp Rilea. I don't know, R-I-L-E-A, Rilea.
Yep.
And they spent the weekend competing against 11 other schools under very heavy rain, and they walked away with third place.
Nice.
Yeah, so they were behind Seattle University and University of Washington, which I find personally rather entertaining, considering that the other schools that were represented there had nothing to do with Washington. So it was all, I mean, the University of Guam was there, University of Hawaii, University of Alaska Fairbanks, and some schools from Oregon. So it's just entertaining that Washington State had a sweep. And then obviously we did an excellent job during the two-day physical and mental like competition. So they had been training for it for 5 days, 5 days a week, beginning at 6 a.m. for the last few months leading up to this event.
You know, that's one thing with our ROTC students. You know, occasionally we see them, you know, walking around campus in their uniforms. But I think what a few people don't realize is that in order to be into ROTC, they swear to, basically, they take the oath of the Army. You know, they swear to protect the people of Washington and the United States. And that's why they carry those flags during the ceremonies as well. And, you know, not only are they students here and they're doing everything else that we do, you know, they're taking their full load of credits. They're doing all the group projects and all the assignments. But then they're going out and they're training. And, you know,
and it's difficult training.
It's difficult training because they're training to become officers in the Army. When they graduate, they're going
in.
They go straight in as officers. So they're really putting in their time. And I, you know, I just want to say I appreciate all of our ROTC students here and appreciate the commitment that they have signed up for when after they graduate to serve all of us, to serve our country, and to make sure that we're protected in times of trouble.
Absolutely. Yeah, and this year they had their team captain is an outgoing senior who is actually serving his second year as the team captain. But he's been a member of the team that is sent to this competition all 4 years, and his name is Jacob Calowert. Don't know why Calowert. And he had some really great quotes in the full article, and he was just talking about how ROTC has always provided him the opportunity to challenge himself and those around him, and how he really appreciates that each year they all form a really strong bond and they're able to endure countless additional skill and physical training hours in the darkest hours of the morning. So he just kind of commented on how they really do form those tight bonds as well. So it's really helpful for them as individuals and as a group in order to protect us and in order to do something good with their lives. And really just get that, like, rigorous mental and physical training, like, ingrained into them.
Definitely. Thank you, Paris, for that. And you know what? I think that's our show tonight. I think we've done.
Oh, yay! We did it.
We got through it. So, and, you know, of course, you can check out that story, Mass Media Online. Of course, you know, you can listen to Loot Air Studio all week. Loot Air Student Radio all week. For an eclectic mix of music and talk. You missed your line there, Paris.
I know. I was on the wrong screen. But also make sure to listen to Steve McGrain with the Mast Radio Sports Show, Fridays at 2 p.m., followed by the Brooke and Sam Show with Brooke Thames and Samantha Lund.
And next Tuesday, make sure you listen to Molly and Thomas in the morning at 10 a.m., for everything else, go to massmedia.plu.edu. I'm David Leon.
I'm Paris Franklin.
And I'm Eddie McCoven. This has been the Master Radio Hour, a convergence of mass media and laser. Thanks for listening, and good night.